Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Before I start out tonight, I was asked to give a brief update of what I will be doing this coming semester. I graduated, against all hopes. I actually graduated last year, and I am now entering my first year of seminary. But this coming semester, I have the opportunity, and the end part of January, to go on a 2-week missions trip. And due to the nature of where I'm going, I won't necessarily say from right here where I'm going, but feel free to come to me afterwards, after the service, and I will tell you where I'm going and what I'll be doing. But I would definitely covet your prayers, because it is close to the area where I'm personally burdened for and praying for wisdom about going as a full-time missionary. And I know it will be a good opportunity just to see what that region is like and see what the people are like. So I'd covet your prayers for wisdom and for direction and for safety as I'm there. We're in Romans chapter 8, and our text for tonight is going to be verse 28. Paul is writing here under inspiration, and he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now, we're at the time of year where we're starting to, Christmas is past, and we're starting to look towards the new year. And it's a time of excitement. We have New Year's resolutions, which will break invariably like the last ones. We'll stay up late on Sunday night or Saturday night and set off fireworks. It's a time of excitement, of new beginnings, new opportunities, and with a full new year. And yet for many, it's also a time of anxiety and fear. Because what might happen in this coming year? I don't know. And many people fear the unknown. How will the economy fare this year? What will happen on the political scene? What will happen on the international scene? We don't know. All these things that could happen in the year, we're not sure of. And even more than that, what might happen in our personal lives? What might we find out in the next doctor's visit? How will our personal finances carry us through the next year? What about our family relations? All sorts of things that we could get worried about because of unknowns in life. And this theme verse that we're looking at tonight, Paul is writing, and Paul is no stranger to unknowns in his life. You know, as you read the accounts in Acts of how he went from city to city, every time he went to a new city, well, he didn't know what would happen. Would he get stoned? Would he get imprisoned? He'd experienced all those before. How would the people receive him? What would happen? He was no stranger to coming to a city and saying, "I don't know." And it's very ironic that he would write this verse. Because in Romans, he tells the Roman believers, "I want to come and to see you." And he had no idea the circumstances God would use to bring him to Rome, and even to the emperor's palace itself for the sake of the gospel. So Paul here is telling and encouraging the believers that all things would work together for good. But as he states this verse, he doesn't just state it as an isolated statement. We're going to be looking throughout the rest of chapter 8 and seeing, what does Paul say about this confidence that we can have? How can we be sure that all things really will work together for good? I see here first, the first point he makes is these next two verses, verses 29 and 30. He says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those he did foreknow." Now God, in his perfect knowledge, knows all that will choose to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And he knows them. It reminds me of John chapter 10, where Jesus is comparing himself to the great shepherd, and he says that he knows his sheep. And what a comfort that is to us, that he knows us. He knows every weakness you have, every fear you have. He knows your strengths. He knows your struggles. He knows it all. And when he allows something to come into our lives, it's not because he didn't realize that we couldn't handle it. You know, have you ever been served something to eat by someone, and they're like, "Oh, this is your favorite." And you're like, "I hate this. I don't like this at all." Or at college, we have called conflict of authorities, where one authority is saying, "Hey, can you be here at this time?" And then the other authority says, "Can you come here at this time?" Like, "Well, no, I've actually already delegated that hour out to someone else. I can't do both things at once." You know, God never does that with us. When he allows something into our lives, it's not because he didn't realize what it would do to us. It's not because he doesn't know us. He knows who we are, and he knows his plan for us. And everything that he allows in our lives, we can trust him with, therefore. Those he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. All those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, he has marked them down as people who will become more like Christ, being sanctified. God has a specific plan for each one of you. God has a plan for me in this coming year, and that's that we become more like his Son, Jesus Christ. And anything he allows into our lives is to that purpose. Even in chastisement, when maybe something bad comes into our lives because of our own doing, God is still using that for good. He's using that for us to become more like his Son. In verse 30, he says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." So we see God is the main one here. You know, we know ourselves. We know how weak we are and how often we can fail. And I think of that hymn that says, "Jesus never fails." God has a specific plan for our lives. And he's the one who came up with it, and he's the one that will accomplish it. You know, we love, as Baptists, we believe in eternal security. And that's a great doctrine, but it has daily application, because Paul here links it directly as the reason that we can know that all things are going to work together for good. There's not one thing that God will allow this year to happen in your life that will have no purpose or will be bad, though it may look bad on the surface. Rather, he has a purpose for you, and he has a purpose for that allowing that thing in your life, whatever that may be. But he doesn't just stop there. It's not only about God's plan, but God's provision and his protection. Look in verse 31. He says, he continues on his thought, and he says, What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, we have that saying, friends in the highest of places. And that is what we have. No matter who's in charge in the political scene, on the international scene, or even whoever your boss may be at your workplace, God is for you. No matter who can be against us, God is for us. And that is, he's talking to believers who are living in Rome, who are under Nero at this time. He was obviously very antagonistic towards Christianity. And yet he says to Christians living at the very heart of the Roman Empire, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we can take comfort in that this coming year. We as well, no matter what happens, no matter who you may feel like is against you, be it maybe a coworker, an employer, or even as we look on the political scene, no matter what, God is for us. We don't need to fear who can be against us. He goes on in verse 32. He doesn't just stop there. Paul says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" We can trust in God's provision for our lives. And there's an element of trust in this verse here, because we have to trust that what God gives to us is something we needed, be that a trial or something that we would view as a blessing. And furthermore, what he decides to withhold from us, we have to trust that, well, that was God's will. God must know that I did not need that, what I thought I might have needed. And so we have to trust that what God gives to us is perfect. It's good. Because Paul said here, through inspiration, that all things would work together for good. Why is that? Because of God's plan for our lives in verses 29 through 30. Because God's provision for us and his protection. In verse 33, he says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." That's another reason we can be encouraged this year. You know, the only one in the universe who has the true right to accuse us has justified us. The only one, the only one we've truly offended against is the one who's forgiven us. What more provision could we ask for this year? Certainly there will be trials. There will be things maybe we wouldn't have asked for. But God says all things will work together for good. He's provided everything for us. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And Paul ends here in verses 35 to 39, he finally comes to the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Maybe on the outside, that's what things look like. But he says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You know, back to verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Are we satisfied with Christ's love for us? Because, you know, all these things that he lists, tribulation, distress, and the whole list, it can separate us from earthly comforts. It can separate us from family, from homes, from homeland. It can separate us from everything. And the Christians living in this time would be very familiar with that. It would separate them from those things, but it could not separate them from God's love. And we as American believers, we often struggle with materialism, which is just mankind, but even especially in the day and age in which we live and the culture we live, it's very materialistic. And so often we find ourselves tied to what the material blessings we can have. Rather, in this new year, we need to focus on being satisfied with God's love for us, experiencing it and growing in his plan for us. Because all those things, they can separate us from what America has to offer us, but it can't separate us from the love of God. He says in verse 38, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so from this passage, we see this year, we have a choice to make. What are we going to live for? If we're going to pursue just what we want, pursue just things that we would like to do, gain things we would like to try to gain, well, yes, then this year will be filled with anxiety, because most assuredly there will be ups and downs, as there always are. But if we're truly living with God's plan for our lives in mind, and if we're truly experiencing God's love, we have no reason to fear, because nothing can go wrong. And that sounds like a health and wealth sort of gospel message, but it's not, because God can take everything and work it together for good. So in conclusion, I don't know what will happen in this coming year. You know, I think back to the year 2020, and going back for the spring semester of 2020, and like having no idea in a few weeks I'd be back home in a pandemic in a lockdown. It was kind of humorous to think about just how little I saw of it coming, because I didn't really follow the news or anything. So it was 1 week I heard about Corona, the next week I was home. Not quite, but kind of like that. But you know, no matter what happens this year, we do not have to fear it. We do not have to fear. God promised everything will work together for good. So how will you view this year of 2023? Will it be a year of potential disasters and pitfalls? Or will it be an opportunity to experience God's love anew and to experience God's plan in your life, working and taking everything and working it together for good?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.